Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Garden of Holiness program, brought to you by Christy Martin and DeeperTruthBlog.com. If you'd like to be on tonight's program, please call 646-595-2071.
Martin, blogger at Garden of Holiness Blogspot, and I am here with you tonight for Deeper Truth Radio, and the Garden of Holiness show. I wanted to come on tonight and tell you about the start of our new school year. The fall seems to be that time of year when Americans especially seem to start over. We no longer just believe in starting the year in January. We all seem to have this tidal wave of new feelings and energy that starts with the school year. I think it comes from when all of us were homeschool, or when all of us were going to public school or private school, and the school year started up in the fall, that everybody seems to have that new year feeling, especially families who have school-age children. So even if you are not a homeschooler like we are, but a public schooler like so many others of us are, or a private schooler, you're probably caught up in the excitement of the new school year beginning. Around here, our public schools have started this week. We started our homeschool last week, and I wanted to just kind of touch on that feeling of excitement and newness today in the Garden of Holiness. That is the name of my blog. It's also the name of our little Catholic homeschool, and all of my kids are working in the garden in an academic kind of way, and my son has something special that he started today with his dad, and he's going to tell you about that in a moment. But first, I want to teach us all about St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. She is one of the school teachers in the saints category. She was born in New York City on August 28, 1774. She lost her mother early, and her education became the concern of her father, Dr. Richard Bailey. She was very devout, fond of reading the scriptures, and had a deep trust in divine providence. At 19, Elizabeth married William McGee Seton of New York. Five children were born of their happy union. After her husband's death, the Felici, lifelong friends, welcomed the grieving widow to their home in Italy, where Elizabeth found true Catholic life, and she converted. Elizabeth returned to New York in 1804 and entered the Catholic Church on March 14, 1805. She accepted an invitation from Archbishop Carroll to establish a girls' school in Baltimore. Several women joined her in the religious life, and she became known as Mother Seton. They were known as Sisters of Charity and lived in Emmitsburg. This was the origin of six American communities of sisters. A school open for the children of the parish was the first parochial school in the United States. Elizabeth died on January 4, 1821. In 1963, she became the first American-born citizen to be beatified, and on September 14, 1975, she was canonized by Pope Paul VI. O God, our Father in heaven, you raised up St. Elizabeth in your church so that she might instruct others in the way of salvation. Grant us so to follow Christ in her example, that we may reach you in the company of our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we are all called to be teachers to each other, and especially to our children, please allow us to imitate St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in her godly and holy task of teaching others. Amen. Now, all of you, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the start of our school year. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have a mixed bag of feelings when it comes to schooling my kids. I'm a homeschooling mom. And so our home gets transformed in the school year. And for the most part, I have to say I love the structure. I love the excitement that school generates. But on the other hand, the demands of it are just amazing. It takes up so much time. And I know around here, it wouldn't be much easier if my children were public schools. I've talked to the public school children in our neighborhood here, and they have they have about a 10.5 hour day. Kids a little further down the bus route actually they are 10 minutes shy of an 11-hour day. They spend hours on the bus. And so family life really gets curtailed, whether you're public schooling or homeschooling or private schooling. So it's one of those mixed bags, one of those mixed blessings. It's wonderful. It's exciting. And everybody gets to fall into a routine. And routines are something that we naturally all kind of crave. We all love the structure of them. So schooling our kids is like most other aspects of family life. You know, the blessings and the hardships are all wrapped up together. You know, I wrote today on a post that I did that sleepless nights and sticky diapers go hand in hand with the snuggles and sweetness of a newborn, in that same way that the wonder and discovery come with the hectic schedule and those days that just seem to rocket from September to Christmas. So schooling is a mixed bag, just like most everything else that comes with family life. Well, we started school last week. We dove right in and did it. My neighbor and I are very close friends, and our families are very much a part of each other's homeschooling experience. And they are so good at homeschooling, and they're so organized, and they've got it. She's got it so down after having 7 kids in school that I needed to get a head start on her so that my routine would already be established and so that I wouldn't be throwing a monkey wrench into her schedule when we tried to integrate anything between the two families, which we do frequently throughout the year. So we got a little bit of a head start on the public school kids in our neighborhood and on the other homeschool kids in our neighborhood, and we started up last week. And for the first time ever, all 5 of my kids are schooling accountably. I've had my other younger kids loosely in preschool, but I didn't really hold them up to be accountable for what they were doing. Those younger guys were basically learning how to do school, how to be responsible, but I wasn't actually going to say, aha, you know, you didn't do this, and so therefore you have to sit at the table and finish and, you know, do the mama teacher routine of making school something that you have a responsibility for. I tried to keep it very fun for those younger guys this year. One of the other things that you may not know is that we have special needs in our family. I have a child who has some learning disabilities that we haven't quite diagnosed yet, but she's struggling with the reading and the writing and those aspects of learning. And I also have a son who struggles with his autism. So we've got special needs. We've got the special needs of having an advanced student, what most of you in the public school arena would consider a gifted child, and we may possibly have 2 of those. And then we have, you know, everything from that spectrum of students that you would expect to see in a regular school classroom. I have it in the space of 5 kids. So it's just an interesting homeschool situation over at my house. So I thought, well, if I talk about my homeschool, it would probably benefit all of you who have kids out there in the public school system and the homeschool kids as well. So that's why I'm talking about it today. For the first time, like I said, all of my kids are homeschooling in that way that is more accountable, more regular, more it's just like a heavier load for them this year on those younger kids. And my oldest son is now in 4th grade. He is old enough to be a 3rd grader and should probably be a 3rd grader, but like I said, you know, he has the ability in several subject areas to be a grade level ahead, so we have done that in most of the subjects. One, he is still in 3rd grade, but in the others, he is definitely ready and raring to go. So some of the things that I've done with my flexibility is to delay one child's start of kindergarten until she was much more emotionally and academically ready. I have accelerated one child and in most of his subjects and kept him at grade level in another subject. I have a lot more flexibility with my schedule like that. Something that I've done across the board is that I have compressed my week from 5 schooling days to 4 days. So I have a longer school day, but my week is a little bit more flexible because my husband's days off fall in the middle of the week. And in order to have family life and family time, I need to be able to take 3 days out. We don't school on Sunday so that my mother and father have a chance to be active with us on Sundays. We try to get together with them, and we have grandparent time, and we take that day off and have a holy day and a holiday at the same time. And we can just read and relax and enjoy each other's company. However, Dad is not in the house at that time. He's at work. So we have to take our family time on the 2 days off in his week. So that means that there are 3 days of the school year, of the school week, that we are not able to work at school diligently without having sacrifice of family time. So I have changed the schedule around. Another thing that I've done is I have included those life skills in our curriculum. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our chores. We have them kind of divided up into caring for our own physical bodies, cleaning our rooms, helping around the house, and other things that just need doing. And so that each kid has learning those life skills in as a part of their daily schedule. And all of those chores are going to change from week to week depending on what good, healthy habits I would like for them to develop, such as for my girls with their very long hair, they need to learn to take care of their hair. So I have brushing your hair morning and night as one of their chores. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but they are held accountable to it. We've got a sticker system. We go over it every night, and they love it. So they love that on Sunday morning when they wake up by their plate, if they have done what they need to do all week long, then they're going to have a surprise waiting for them when they wake up on Sunday morning. And while I'm on the topic of Sunday morning, one of the ways that we make it special is that the rewards from the school week happen on Sunday morning. They get up and they have, you know, whatever it is, like the sweet, don't tell them it's Lifesavers, but they're going to have Lifesavers for doing a pack of it, sitting there for doing all of their chores during the week. Or let's say last week we celebrated with cookies for breakfast on Sunday morning, and we were able to find a good recipe which had high protein content to balance out that high sugar content, and we had these oatmeal chocolate chip cookies that we made, gluten-free, of course, and that was their breakfast for Sunday for that first week of school. And this coming up week, we've got the Lifesavers. It's going to be in addition to their breakfast. But another thing that we do on Sunday is I inherited a tea set from my mother and father a little early. You know, they're both still alive and kicking, but they're starting to divest themselves of superfluous things or items that they consider superfluous. And so they gave us a tea set that my father bought when he was working in England a few years ago. Oh, it's been almost a decade ago now. But this tea set is just lovely, and it was just sitting around, and I finally decided to take it out for display. And that led to this tradition of using it every Sunday. We put decaffeinated coffee or tea in the tea set. We put the creamer. We wash it every week. because it does sit out on the shelf. We wash it up real quick on Sunday morning, and we set it out, and we have our breakfast. Whatever it is served with the tea set, so that just it sets the day aside as something a little extra special when we get to use our tea set. So that's all part of our homeschooling. And like I said, I compressed my schedule down from 5 days to 4. And I've got chores included in the curriculum. I only have about 10 years or so, because, well, I would say probably 14 or 15 years or so, to teach my children to all be able to run a household. So as they get old enough and as they get big enough, I give them some chores to do so that they can learn how to empty the dishwasher, hand wash dishes. They're all responsible now for coming in to the kitchen during the meal preparations and helping with each and every meal. They are learning how to make sure that their dirty clothes come out of the room and that their clean clothes get back into the drawer or the closet. You know, all of those sorts of things so that when they grow up and they are married, when they grow up into their bachelorhood, when they grow up into, religious life, whatever their state of life is, in the dorm room, at college, they can function and they can actually smoothly transition from being a dependent child into an independent person who can walk out the door and be able to take over their life from here. We don't have a whole lot of time to learn those valuable life skills, but we're working on it. So it's part of their schooling routine. It also builds character. So those are all part of it. And then the added benefit of that is that my house is clean by the end of the school day, or at least if we've done it right, it's relatively clean. I'm working right alongside my kids when it's chore time, and they're doing their chores relatively well. You know, they're still children. And so, like I said, it's relatively clean. Sometimes the room looks like, their bedroom looks like a child swept it because a child did. But, you know, you have your standards that you have for your house, and they adjust as your kids adjust to you, or you adjust as your family grows to what you consider ready for company and what you consider ready or not for company. So by the end of every day, so far so good. We've had the house looking pretty good. The kids are going to bed. They're tired, but they're content, and they're sleeping deeply because they've been stimulated mentally, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. I'm remaining relatively sane with the hours of prep work that go into each and every day as a teacher, though my class has gotten much smaller, it's gotten a lot more complex. As a former public school teacher, I put in just as much time, but now I'm putting the time in for my own kids and my own, I don't ever leave my classroom, so I have to be sure that I'm being super organized because I have to live with the mess if I'm not. And my husband is much more involved this year. He is in charge of the braggables. The kids set aside each day something that they want to show to their dad. And unfortunately, he doesn't come home before their bedtime. So as part of the schedule, we pin that up. And then he takes a look at it when he gets home after he's eaten and settled in. He takes a look at it, and then he writes a smiley face, or he says, good job to the ones who are readers, and then sets it at their plate in the morning so that they can see it. And my oldest son just started something very exciting with Dad that he's going to come on and talk to you about a little bit later, because I did want them to tell you guys firsthand about their day. But let's just wait for that for a few minutes, because I did want to get into how I've organized it. I learned from a woman who taught school in a little school out in California at Roberts Ferry School. She taught 4th through 8th grade, And she had a beautiful system for keeping track of those four different sets of curriculum. What she did was she assigned a color to each grade level, and she used sticky notes to help her with it. But she had on her desk, everything was laid out very neatly at the beginning of the day. Everything was written out for herself in her lesson plan book, and then she used sticky notes to put it onto the curriculum item. Like, let's say she had to read a little bit from her math lesson in order to give the lesson on the board to the fourth graders. She would just sticky note that. And then she didn't teach the higher level math to the seventh and eighth graders, but she did. She was responsible for the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, most of the sixth graders, for their math and their entire curriculum. And then she had the seventh and eighth graders for social studies and language arts. But she had kids moving in and out of the classroom during the day, and she had probably all total about 45 children that were coming in, and they each had a different requirement. So she had to be organized, and she devised a system of sticky notes, color coding, and all of that. And since I have a similar situation, I've got four grade levels. I've got all the curriculum that goes in with that. I decided that I would go ahead and use the sticky note system. I have my lesson plans written out. They're all written out where I need to be for the year. And each day I take my lesson plan and I compress it into sticky note sizes, and I stick what I need to do in the book that I needed to do it in. And then that book goes into a milk crate for that child. So when it's time for me to work with that child, I say, hello, you, come sit next to me, and I pull out the book, and it's all right there for me. I know exactly what I need to do. I have all of my materials tucked into that book or sitting in a child's little pencil box to help me further with all of this organization. They each have a pencil box that is color-coded to their favorite color. Their little milk crate is also color-coded in their favorite color, so that when I sit down with a child, I have everything just at my fingertips. I've planned it out well enough that everything's ready to go. So I guess the lesson for all of you who are homeschooling is be prepared. The lesson for all of you who are not homeschooling is planning makes for a smoother day, no matter what it is. So we've got calendars that go for the family calendar where we write all of our appointments on. I've got a calendar that I'm looking at for each grade level that I'm teaching that has their lesson plan for the year. I've got calendars that keep track of our, I guess you could call it our farming type of stuff, like we're tracking the goat cycle so that we can get the bread. We're going to be writing on that calendar when we need to do what for our landscaping and our farming and gardening. You know, we've just got things organized. I also have a calendar for my bill schedule and things like that. So, you know, everything has to be organized. And that little bit of planning that you put into the front end means that you're not living in chaos on the back end. If I didn't plan, I would constantly be having to play catch up. And you spend so much more time playing catch up than you ever do in planning. So, with all that said, I've been through a week and a half. And so far, so good. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a firm believer in planning. I function much better when I plan, especially with all of the different variables that we have. I even meal plan, and I write down my shopping list by store and section of the store. I just have slowly evolved it as I've gotten my routines of which stores that I go to and all that kind of stuff. It is all part and parcel of my daily planning of the day, of my school planning. It all kind of runs together. I'm also a very firm believer in pre-reading everything that my children bring from the library. I know a lot of you feel that you don't have time for it, but I simply set aside my desire to read the books that I want to read in order to accomplish this, especially since my kids are now getting of an age, at least the oldest one is getting of an age where he's reading novels. I want to be very careful with what kinds of novels he is putting into his head. I am so grateful that I did this. There was a school, it was a book on a school list that looked like it should have been perfect. It was all about weather. The librarian recommended it and everything. I pre-read the book, and there was some sexual content that was not appropriate for an 8-year-old boy. And, you know, I mean, who knew? So I thought to myself, you know, that maybe I was being a little bit overzealous. And when I came across that, I just said, you know, I am so grateful, because I'd rather be a little overzealous on the front end of my son's young mind than trying to play catch up on the back end of it. So even if you are not a homeschooling mom, I would strongly suggest that when the book comes home from the library, you read through it. I was an English major. I read at least a novel and a Shakespeare play every weekend. So I do have a very fast reading ability. However, you can use whatever reading skill that you have and whatever reading ability you have to go ahead and pre-read it. You just tell them, you just renew the book. I've got to read it first. You renew it at the library before you read it. Meanwhile, here's The Hobbit you can get into. Here's this other relatively safe book that you know of, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder, any of those books that, you know, the ages have already checked out for you. Read a Shakespeare play. There's going to be some inappropriate content, but it's written in Old English. They'll never know the difference. They're not going to get much of the puns anyway. But, yeah, it's not until you really get into college before you can really unlock Shakespeare and realize what racy stuff you were getting into there. But anyway, that aside, I wanted to let you know about all of this because it does just sort of speak to life in general. You know, a homeschooling mom's life is sort of like a metaphor for everybody's life. You've got to get the planning done in order for the rest of the day to flow. And also, it doesn't matter who you are. You're in charge of your family. You're in charge of your life. And there is the caveat that there's no amount of planning that you're going to be able to do that life isn't able to undo. So planning is a matter of flexibility, too. You have to plan in order to get a sense of structure. But then you also have to be able to set aside the structure. We've got a tummy bug right now or something going on, and one of my kids is just having no end of trouble with it, and we have had to stop everything about 5 times today to do a major, massive cleanup. So, you know, that's just how that is. You know, you have to be able to be flexible and run with whatever life is showing you. And yet, the fact that I have my week planned and I have the day planned means that if I have to set aside the day's plans, I can just set them aside in its entirety or the partiality and pick it up where I left off. And I don't have to leave in my mind the entirety of the schedule. The schedule is set. The schedule is ready to go. And I can just pick it up and say, I'm halfway through. I did these things. Pick up my little sticky notes and scooch them over. You know, it just works for me. Now, some of you might be driven nuts by the sticky notes and by the color coding and by all of that kind of stuff. For me, it works. If there's a green cup out, I know it's my youngest kid who did not do what she needed to do, which was carry her plate in from, you know, carry her cup in from the dining room into the kitchen counter. I can just tell at a glance what it is, just sort of like how moms can tell at a glance, you know, whose underwear that is left on the floor. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a little bit of my own my own information, my own way of dealing with the chaos of life. And for now, I would like to have one or two of my kids come on and tell you about their day, about what particular aspect of our homeschooling life they want to talk about. But first, I want to give you the telephone number if you want to call in. I know this might not be the most interesting of subjects, but if you do want to call in and ask questions about this metaphor for crazy life and family life, the number is 646-595-2071. Again, that's 646-595-2071. And I'm going to tell you tonight we have a song about picking up the cross, and I want you to understand that you have to choose Christ. You have to accept the burdens that are given into your life. And part of my burdens are the very things that are my blessings, just like most things. So if I haven't made that very clear in my meandering and wandering around, I do want to say that God hands you a mixed bag, and in it you have to take the gift with what you would consider the difficulties, because sometimes it's the difficult gift that is the biggest blessing. It is in the struggle with whatever it is that is hard that you have the most growth. So I want you to choose Christ, and I want you to accept the crosses that God gives you. The cross is meant for all of us and to become more Christ-like. So pick it up and roll with it. And with that thought, I'm going to introduce you to my son, John, who wants to tell you about something that he's doing with his dad, okay? So the quality might not be as great as it was a few minutes ago because I'm going to put him on speakerphone, but I do want him to tell you about one thing that he's doing with his dad. Hold on just one moment while I get him on the line. Okay, John, can you tell us about what you did with your dad today?
I was doing my first lesson in my Tin Cups and Tinder.
And what is Tin Cups and Tinders? What are you learning about there?
What you should do before you start cooking.
Okay, so are you going to be cooking in our kitchen, or are you going to be cooking somewhere else with Daddy?
I'm going to try cooking somewhere else.
And where might that be?
Outside.
Really? You're going to cook outside? Are you going to cook on the grill or somewhere else?
A grill or on a campfire.
Are you going to be learning how to cook on a campfire? What does cooking in a kitchen have to do with that?
Well, sometimes when the stove's not going quite right, you need to light it yourself.
Okay, so you're going to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to light it, which they've been doing for years, is been using a match.
Oh, are you going to learn how to use matches?
Yes. I think I'm going to start out with those, like, 10 inches long.
Okay, and what did you learn from Daddy today? What was your thing that you did today with Daddy?
I learned that you need to get the ingredients out before you start cooking, or otherwise you might take too long when you get to the part and you get the ingredients.
Uh-huh.
And by that time, the food could burn.
Oh, yeah. What if you didn't have everything? Like, remember he talked about cake flour?
It wouldn't taste all that good if you didn't have all the ingredients.
Yeah, so you kind of check. And then did you clean up and wear an apron and all that kind of good stuff with Daddy?
Yes.
Awesome. Do you have anything else you want to tell us about your school year so far?
Well, in the Tin Cups and Tinder, me and Dad and Simon have made a club called the Tinderman Club.
The Tinderman Club. Cool. I love it. So the Tindermen are in the Garden of Holiness now.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You guys gave yourselves the name.
Yeah, I did the name.
Mhm.
I thought up the name.
You did. Awesome. So you're doing this with your brother too, huh? So it's kind of a manly thing that you guys are doing, this cooking, huh? Awesome. Your wife is going to love that you could take over the cooking when you get to be a big guy. You can surprise her sometimes by cooking dinner like Daddy does for us, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for telling us about your Tenderman Club with Daddy and your brother. Okay, let's let your sisters in here before they go crazy. They want to talk about their school.
Okay.
All right.
And by the way, my name is John Stuart Martin, turning 9, November 25th.
Awesome. We'll have to have you on your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, girl.
She's on a Sunday, which is going to be very unlikely.
How likely is it that you have any particular given day of the week?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, John. All right. My youngest girls are in preschool this year. What do you guys want to tell us about your school? Oops. You'll come on in just a second, Anna. What do you want to tell us? What do you got? What have you got here? What is this?
Box.
What kind of a box? What have you been finding in your box?
Scissors and glue and cards.
Oh, yeah. And what about...
Pencils.
And pencils are in your box. And what about this?
Owl thing.
It's your owl thing. What do you get owl thing for? What do you get owl stickers for? That's for your reading, isn't it?
For my reading.
Yep. Every time you do your reading lesson or you listen in when we're reading stories to the older kids or when John's reading to you, you get your owl sticker, don't you? And you're going to get a great big surprise when you get 20 of those, huh? Okay, takes us a whole month. Sylvia, what do you want to tell us about your school? What have you liked best so far?
I like best is...
She's digging in her pencil box.
The owl thing.
You like the owl stickers?
Yeah.
Wow, and you've got an owl and you've got owl stickers going all the way to the moon, and you've got a big prize when it comes to that. It helps you love your reading. Do you like reading?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have some reading lessons, too, that we do.
I like that. Can I put that on my ear?
You want to put the phone on your ear? Well, hold on. And tell us something about school.
I have some pencils. What's the owl thing?
Very cool. The owl thing, again, is our owl book. Thank you for telling us about your school. We'll see you later. Okay? Anna Banana Maria Torres, come here for a second.
That's
not
radio.
It is the radio. We're getting on the radio on the phone. Anna, what would you like to say about your school?
I ride horses today.
Oh, yeah, we do horse lessons as our main thing. We've got two of you in horse therapy, and one is, and John's just doing some riding lessons. You and John split a riding lesson, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, we're like Mrs. Romney, whose husband is running for vice president. We do horse therapy, too, to help us learn how to gain confidence. I hope you don't pop that balloon. We are learning how to get confidence. We're learning how to deal with anxiety and all kinds of really cool things with our horses. What did you do today on the horse?
Well, I ride on him, then I turn around.
Uh-huh. Did you steer him yourself?
I steered him, and I ride my own horse today.
Uh-huh. And what is your horse's name?
Mo.
Mo. Yeah, that's Mo for Mozart. But sometimes we call him Slow-Mo, don't we? Because if you're not careful, he gets real, real slow. So what happened to Mo that you learned about? Did you see his forehead? Did you see where he crashed? He crashed the other day, didn't he? He scraped off a lot of his hair.
I got to finish my book. I've been reading some more.
Okay. Do you want to tell about some of your chores?
Yeah.
that you're doing with school, you're learning how to read and you've been reading stories and everything else. Would you like to tell about your chores that you have to do?
Well, I got to sweep the room. If we want a movie, we got to do 6 jobs. If we want iPad, we got to do 5 jobs.
No, if you can earn 10 minutes on the iPad by just doing one extra job above your chores, right? So, and Mommy hasn't gotten that list written up for the 6 of them. We can earn extra time on our fun stuff by doing extra chores, right? It's kind of like real life. When Mommy does extra work, sometimes she gets herself an extra good surprise for herself. So what else do you want to tell about school? Are you writing letters? Who did you write a letter to last week?
Maga and Paga.
Maga and Paga are your grandparents, aren't they? And did you write to an auntie last week? Which auntie did you write to?
Aunt Teresa.
Aunt Teresa? Yeah, you like to call her Aunt Teresa because your middle name is Therese, right? You know, your partner's
name is Therese Martin.
That's right. So that's your namesake auntie that you wrote to. And what did you tell her about? Did you write it all yourself, or did I help you write some of it?
You write the words for me that I got the copy of.
Right. You tell me exactly what you want to say, and I write it all down, and then you do your best to copy what I wrote. So she probably had some good giggles from some of the stuff you said. You've got such a great sense of humor sometimes that you make me laugh, and you made me laugh in the letter that you wrote.
I'm reading quietly.
You're reading quietly. Okay. Well, do you want to go ahead and run off and go? And we will talk to you later. You want to say bye to all the people out there in the radio world?
Bye.
Bye, Anna. Love you.
Bye.
Okay, I'm going to take you off the speakerphone because, boy, that is just poor quality. One of the things that we're working on this year and one of the things that we budgeted for was an upgrade in our equipment because, honestly, we are struggling on this little computer here and we're struggling with our slow satellite upload time. We're going to get a hotspot and try to do all of our blogging and computer on the through the phone systems, satellite systems, instead of on the system that we have here. So hopefully we'll be able to get some more pictures and everything out for you guys out there in the radio world not on the radio world. How silly, in the blogosphere. So anyway, you can hear that my kids are excited, that my husband's involved. We're doing just all kinds of things. We go from about lunchtime when my husband goes to work until dinner time. So we have about a 5 or 6 hour school day. And in that time, we're getting just so much stuff done, and I just love it. And at the same time, I struggle with it, just like with most gifts that we have. It just seems like you have to make choices with your day. But our lives are not meant to be easy. Our lives are meant to get us closer to heaven. And our good Lord and Savior said, "You pick up your cross and follow me." He didn't say, pick up your bonbons, kick your feet back, and sit on the couch and get chubby, and that's the best way to follow me. He said, no, you pick up your cross, and then once you pick it up, you realize that you've got a lot of support there. Now, Christ had Simon there to help him with his cross, and we have Christ himself who's already carried all of our crosses on his shoulder. So even if you're feeling overwhelmed with your life, which is easy to do, right now we're in our honeymoon phase with our school. Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy. Mom's even relatively happy with the way that things are working out. But at some point in the next few weeks, that honeymoon's going to wear off, and the length of the year stretching to Christmas is going to kick in. And it's like we call this kind of the gangrene when the rot of the school year starts to settle in. We actually call it the gangrene time of day, which is those hours between dinner and going to bed when the rot of the day just starts to settle in and everybody gets real cranky and, you know, things can go out of control really quickly, we apply that idea of the gangrene of the day, gangrene hour of the day, to the gangrene hour of any task that you have to do. It's when you start to get discouraged. It's when things seem overwhelming or you're just plain tired. You feel like you can't go on your own steam anymore. And that's when the trick is to rely on something other than yourself. And that something for Christians is the strength of the Lord. He's there with you every step of the way, and he has suffered so much more for your sake than you will ever suffer for yourself. So the trick to getting through each and every day, the trick through getting through each and every year, and the trick to getting through all of those tasks that seem like they could be overwhelming to you is to not rely on your own steam. You have to take a leap of faith sometimes. And every fall is like a leap of faith for each and every one of us. It is the summer's rolled to an end. The days are getting shorter again. The harvest has come in. And this is as good as it's going to be through the rest of the winter. And you have to kind of say, okay, I'm ready to start. I'm ready to start the whole cycle over again. You take a leap of faith and realize that the Lord God will not let you dash your foot against the stone, even. A host of angels is there to bear you up. And you just know that no matter how hard it is, whatever it is that you're presented with, be it walking on the bus for the first time, going to kindergarten all by yourself without your mom, or starting a new job, starting college, starting calculus, starting that next load of endless laundry, whatever the task is that's before you, you have the capacity to do it, at least if you start it. You will be able to finish it if you simply follow through in faith that the burden is bearable. A Christian understands this on a much more intuitive level, I think, than the despairing pagan world that I came from as a neo-pagan, and the despairing pagan world that is out there that has very little in the way of offering an explanation for suffering in its philosophy. A Christian understands that endurance sometimes is its own reward. And I will tell you that we have what is known as the quitting point. That is a little over halfway through any job. The temptation to quit hits you very hard because it has taken you a tremendous act of will and effort and steam to get to that halfway point and a little beyond it. But usually, you're done at that point. You have given it your all. The trick is to stop relying upon your own will and to say, this job is accomplishable, this job will be accomplished, and I will continue through the end. That's the trick. That's the leap of faith. When you reach that quitting point and you're looking at as much, if not more, effort to get the job done than you've already put in, and you start to get discouraged and you hear the voice of the deceiver in your ear telling you that you cannot do it, you should not do it, and in fact, you deserve better than doing this job, you need to shut it down with the idea that you do have someone to rely on, and that is your Lord. And he is there with you through everything. And every job that you do as a Christian, that you are doing with Christ, is of inestimable value if his name is upon it, the name of the Lord God, King of Kings. He has written his name on your heart, and you can offer up all of your day-to-day tasks your year, your morning, your umpteenth load of laundry. You can offer it up as a gift to your God. Not that he needs it. Not that he particularly is interested in your laundry or your school year. I mean, he does have a whole universe to run. However, he is very interested in you and the tasks that are before you. And so if you give them up to him as a gift for you, Lord, all things through Christ, all things for Christ, then there's a deeper essence to whatever it is that you're doing. There's a greater peace that comes from fulfilling your job if you are doing it and putting Christ's name on it in your heart and in your prayers. And I'm going to say one thing. I probably, those of you who have heard my earlier shows have heard me say this before. My children are continually giving me gifts. They love the little dandelions. I don't particularly need them. I don't particularly have a desire to have a dandelion in my hand at any given moment. But when that sweet face shows me this pretty little flower, this pretty precious thing that they have gifted for me, they've plucked it up out of our lawn and said, "Here, Mom, it is precious to me, not because it's a dandelion, but because it is this little precious gift is giving me a gift. This little precious person is giving me a gift." So too are these little gifts of your day that you're giving to your Lord. These little gifts of effort, these little gifts of surrender. God does not particularly need that. You know, he is God. He has everything. But the only thing in this world that he does not have without you giving it is you, your love, and your life. You have to offer that back. So, like these little dandelions that my children give me, that they have no particular need of, but they become precious treasures when they are given to me by my children. So too, that load of laundry, the effort to get through the next 20 minutes when you have a tantruming two-year-old, all of those things, when you put Christ's name on them and you offer them up to God as a gift, as a sacrifice, as a humbling moment where you just turn your life over to the Lord. Those precious little dandelions, those weeds that you pluck out of your own life to give to your God, those become beautiful in his sight. And indeed, as beautiful as you are in his sight. So as you start your year, let me leave you with this idea. This is Donna Corey Gibson. I will not refuse the cross. I would like to offer you this song as a way to help you get through those little halfway points, those quitting points where you think you have nothing left to give. Even that feeling of being completely worn out or worn down or just tired of it, giving that to your Lord is a way of picking up your cross and following him. It's a way of plucking a weed out of your life and giving it to your God as a precious little gift. So I hope you have a wonderful harvest of dandelions for your God, and I hope they're all as sweet to him as all dandelions I have received over the years have been to me. And I'm going to sign off with a song tonight and hope that you enjoy your week. And I hope you've enjoyed this little insight into family life, which is kind of a hidden life. It's like the Holy Family's life. It's like Christ's hidden life. All of our lives that we spend in our families are so sweetly personal and so intense that they're not for public consumption, really. But sometimes it takes a look at someone else's life before you can appreciate the gift that is yours, even if it is a difficult gift. So I'm signing off with I Will Not Refuse the Cross, and I hope you all have a very, very blessed week. And I ask you to pray each and every day.